Hello. My name is Joe.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Double Trouble Features. Jesus Christ. Yeah, every time.
How was that one?
You're really changing them up for me. This is the weekly podcast where we talk about all things movies, television, and just what's on these damn screens.
So, guys, just make sure you're subscribing on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, and of course Spotify.
We love a good sub.
Yes. But Joe, what are we doing today?
We are getting into, there's a lot of talk about video games and television / movies, what the world of that looks like. Yeah. We're going to get into some of the movies we watch, a little documentary action, one of the movies we saw together. We're going to be talking about some peak drama, because it's good this year. There's some good shows coming out this year. And then we're going to kind of wrap in on like what of our favorite TV shows and movies that we've seen this year so far.
Yeah, gotta have a wrap. Okay, so I have a question, Joe.
I have an answer.
Like, I know, like, you play games, and if you know who me, I'm a huge gamer.
Yes.
First, what is your favorite video game? I actually don't know that.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Okay, so on a no, like, it's the same as yours. That's why I was so shocked whenever I found out yours, Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, like, that's a perfect video game series for the mains. The side quests get a little sketchy sometimes, but it's just any world that's like that immersive that you can play in. That's like my shtick and like what I enjoy and the fantasy of it. But like new IP, but taking from that Disney IP, like Kingdom Hearts is always going to be my favorite video game.
Yeah, I think Kingdom Hearts did such a fantastic job of like adding Disney into the whole Square Enix like world. And so Final Fantasy world. And so I thought that was so brilliant. The reason why we're talking about our favorite video games is because video games are booming right now in the TV and movie realm.
They are. I think a lot of people are taking from the mistakes of the past and taking, because I mean, with a lot of these video game TV shows and movies back when we were kids, it was all style, no substance. It was like, we just have to make this look like the video game as much as possible. Yeah. And then just like, maybe we'll throw some lines in there for fun. And it was kind of treated as an afterthought. I think The Last of Us changed a lot of that for a lot of people.
I would even say The Last of Us. I would say, because you have Sonic, which was super successful, and Sonic came out. They're on the mini series Knuckles, and then they're going to be three. I cannot wait to see Shadow. Okay, I love Shadow. Like, Shadow's my favorite character in that whole entire Sonic universe.
I mean, you give Sonic a gun.
Yeah.
Like, what could go wrong?
And then, like you said, Last of Us, which is fantastic. You also have other shows. Halo. Season 2 is so much better, because they're getting on track with the actual lore and stuff.
So I never played Halo, and so trying to watch that first season, those first couple episodes, it was a little rough. I'm not going to lie. It kind of turned me off, so maybe I need to revisit.
Yeah, no. Trust me. First season, yeah, it sucks. Second season, so much better. But so what we wanted to talk about today is just like, what should be the next steps? What are some of the newer video games that should be adapted to the screen? Because you also had Mario, which did so well last year. I love Mario. It was a good movie. Unfortunately, I saw it like 4 times. When you have like nephews and stuff like that, you go see it again and again. But
see, you just need to do what I do, and every time you watch it, take an edible, and it's like a new movie every time. It's so beautiful, and it's so colorful.
Yeah, no, super colorful. So one movie, or one show, that is already in the works, God of War.
Yes.
God of War. Have you played the new God of Wars?
I've played some of it. I haven't like gone deep in, because there was a big release that happened when I was born. Like something happened and I ended up going off, but I still need to revisit it. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very cool what they're doing with it.
The new God of Wars are some of the best like storytelling I've ever like played in a video game. And it's perfect. Like, also like the way they're making these video games with the motion capture, is basically acting already. So like these people are literally have these entire suits.
Oh yeah.
They have just the little dots on them. Well, but they're just doing all the acting, well, basically.
I mean, look at Jedi Survivor and Jedi, like those movies. With
ooh, great. That's a great example.
With, I'm blanking on his name and I want to.
Oh, the dude from Shameless.
Yeah. He's a good actor. And honestly, like, I remember playing those games and being like, this.
Low-key glow up.
I was like, glow up. I mean, he's hot. But I was sitting there the whole time and I was just like, this feels like it could have just
been a movie.
Been a movie.
And you would have been, I would have been
happy.
So I think every Star Wars fan would be happy if Jedi Survivor was turned into a movie.
Oh, for sure. I actually think that like Acolyte is playing into some of that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if it's canon.
Who knows?
I'm not a, like, oh, people do know.
Tell us if you know.
Yeah. Let's see. What's another video game? Okay, so going back to the Nintendo IP, Nintendo has so many IP.
They really do.
And they were the most reluctant to do anything at all, like, with their IPs. Like, they are hey, we're Nintendo, so we're going to do our own little thing. But I do think with the success of Mario, they are starting to understand, you know what? We can make more money if we just put it on the screen, which... Crazy thought, right? But I do think that Metroid Prime,
yes, that would be
great.
I played those as kids, like on my Game Boy, and I was just like, this is so fun. Like, or
it's
just like
it's sci-fi,
story. Yeah.
It's there's aliens. There's things that you're killing.
You're fighting monsters, like, but like every time you go to a
you
world,
have a bat, and that's a badass female like lead role.
Sydney Sweeney. Yeah. You know that she, if they dropped a Metroid Prime today, it would be Sydney Sweeney. You
don't
know that.
No, I don't want Sydney Sweeney.
I'm not saying I want it. That's just who it would be right now.
Let's see. But I think an IP that Nintendo doesn't really use.
No,
really do well with is Star Fox.
Yes.
I think with that IP, and it can still be animated. It doesn't have to become like real or anything like that. You can do so much. It's basically like just Star Trek. Like, go explore the galaxy, do whatever you want, fight. Yeah. Like, I don't know why this is not already a kid show. Like, it's perfectly set up. You already have your side characters and everything like that. I would love that.
You know what I didn't put on the list but would be a really good movie?
What?
A Spyro movie or Crash Bandicoot Spyro mashup.
I play the crap out of Spyro.
I play the crap out of Spyro and Crash Bandicoot. Yeah. I think those two movies at two separate movies and then they come together. And that's the third one.
Yeah, I would be fine with that. Another IP that Nintendo has is, of course, Zelda.
Yes. You all need to do more with Legend of Zelda. I can't tell if they don't realize or if they're just like, because like Nintendo's not based in America and it's not just like this. I'm not going to speak on like Japanese consumerism, but in America, it's like all the time, nonstop, constant. And I feel like with Nintendo, why they do so well is because they take the time to really like dive in to what they're working on when they're working on it. It's not
except
just like
for Pokemon.
Except for Pokemon, girl. We need
Pokemon. Okay. Pokemon, they're just turning that shit out.
They are
just turning Pokemon out. But when it comes to Zelda, I think they just make so much money off of like.
But they've already made so many Pokemon shows. That's what I'm saying.
I think toys, like in Japan, are so much of a bigger brand than they are here in America.
Well, I'd say even in America, because I mean, a lot of these movies, like where, like some of the money they're coming from is from these toys.
Yeah,
and getting that money back from whatever they spent it on marketing, whatever. But if they didn't make all that, so it's very. And I mean, Disney does this ad nauseum because, like, if you've watched a Disney movie in the past, like 10 years, there's always the little sidekick character, the chameleon, or I was really
the star in Wish,
or the chicken. Yeah. And the pig in Moana, Olaf. Yeah. Like, there's always the reindeer, Sven. But like, there's always that side character, and I think that Nintendo does do that as well. I think that they play heavy,
and I feel like that's why in like Japan, because I feel like Like, and this is wrong, but you have Disney is more of Americanized.
Yeah.
And Nintendo is more Japanese. And so I think you can say that Nintendo is the Disney of Japan. Like, yes, Disney's in Japan and they have their own stuff and people do consume it. But same with Nintendo with America.
I
think Nintendo is just so much bigger in Japan than what it is here in America. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people in America will play, you know, PlayStation 5, like PlayStation, or, you know, we do, some people do play Xbox. But in Japan, everybody has a DS, everybody has a Switch, mm-hmm. everybody has Nintendo.
Well, and that's the other thing about Nintendo is it is a little more accessible price-wise.
Yes.
In terms of, like, hardware games. Yeah. It's not a constant, like, we want to sell you this service.
$500.
And this service. Yeah. And it's like, okay, whatever. But no, I think that Nintendo, it's slowly starting to get into the American movie game. And I think they're doing it slowly and incredibly intelligently, because they started off with like Mario, right? Yeah. I mean, we've had the Pokemon.
You have to have Mario.
We've had the Pokemon shit, but I would make an argument that the reason that the games are so churn and burn is because they're focusing on the TV, they're focusing on the movies, and they've been doing a lot on Netflix lately, if you haven't noticed, like a lot. So I think, and I think it does because they're putting those resources towards those television shows that it's taking away from the games.
Have you played Animal Crossing?
Yes.
Okay. COVID. I just want you to imagine a TV show where it's Animal Crossing. You're a new person coming into this world, onto this island, and you're trying to do, you know, your task. And then Tom freaking Nook, the asshole of the island, is charging you out there. And, like, he's just the villain.
You mean the entrepreneur?
Yeah, no, go. Hey, fuck Tom Nook. I'm not going to like, okay, I played that during COVID, and like, I'm just like, bro, why is everything so expensive?
You got to get those bells.
Yeah. Getting off the Nintendo. I think BioShock. I know you haven't played BioShock.
Yeah,
but
I haven't played BioShock or Mass Effect. I didn't have video games growing up as a kid or a teenager. So, like, my video game prowess comes mainly from either Nintendo, because I had a DS or I had a whatever, or after 2016, basically.
Yeah, and, like, BioShock is basically, like, it's an underwater world, kind of like, almost like Fallout. Where, you know, nobody's really on the surface anymore, but everybody is down under. And, like, somebody, this guy built, like, this entire world. But then there's a giant boss that's trying to hunt you and find you down. And then you get a little bit of powers here and there. It's really great. It's actually an amazing game. I think you should definitely play
it. It's one of the ones, that and Mass Effect are the ones that I have, like, needed to go back and...
Mass Effect is basically Star Trek... with a little bit of, like, kind of saving humanity kind of thing.
Is this with, like, the AI at the end?
No.
Okay, I might be thinking of it.
No, when I tell you Mass Effect, like, top five video games I've ever played.
Huh.
And so the crazy thing was, so you play Mass Effect 1, and it's a choice base, so you make choices.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so whatever choice you make in Mass Effect 1 will carry over in Mass Effect 2. So if this person died... that person's not in the second game.
That's crazy.
And then whatever choice you do in 2, go into 3.
See, I think that we need to, and I'm going to bring this up. So choice-based games, because I added in Detroit Become Human as a, if anyone remembers, Bandersnatch for Netflix, Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And it was a, basically you play out the episode. And I think that it's, Netflix, and I think these companies are going to start seeing that they need to start investing into more of that, or like just or like option.
Yeah, I'm shocked Netflix hasn't done another one.
Think they did another one, but it was like a love story. They did another one that was like a love story or something.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, okay, whatever. But I think that those would be really interesting, like TV shows based off of like choose your own adventure type situations.
Also, we just need a better Assassin's Creed.
Girl, yeah, what was real, that? Michael Fassbender, I love you. Why did you do that? Why did you do that to us?
He's a great actor, what are we doing?
He's a great actor. He's fine as... Why would you make that movie? Why would you... If they walked up to you and be like, we need to stick you on this stick and have you spin around a bunch, and we're going to call that what it is, even though there's... Like, you didn't have to explain the science of it. We were totally willing to believe that people just got into the little coffin thing and were plugged into the past. We didn't need whatever that was. What we needed was a solid fucking story, which you have in the video games.
Yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn, beautiful game, amazing.
I would give my left arm for that. And I'm left-handed, so that means a lot.
And then also...
Okay.
Rockstar is the biggest, like one of the biggest companies. I think basically almost all their IP. Bully is a great. I don't know why we're not doing a Bully movie. Bully is basically teenage, like this bully gets put into this prep school, and basically he has to survive almost in like a Grand Theft Auto style
this
life.
Is a video game?
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
I don't know what Rockstar is. What are you saying?
Are you serious?
What other games? I don't know what Bully is.
Okay, Rockstar made Bully. Uh-huh. It made Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
And it made Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
Those are the big IPs.
Okay, well that explains why I don't know who they are.
You don't know Grand Theft Auto?
I know Grand Theft Auto. I've never played it.
You've never played Grand Theft Auto?
Okay, here's the thing that you need to constantly remember. I was in a Christian white nationalist school, and they were very anti-Grand Theft Auto. They were very anti-video games and media in general.
Just to make this short, hey, next year when Grand Theft Auto comes out, you're getting it, and you're playing it. Because Grand Theft Auto is the greatest game.
Yeah, you get to kill strippers and all that fun stuff.
Way more, but...
Nah, that's all I've ever seen. That's all you all ever post, so...
That's true.
Would love to... Like, if that's a thing, if you don't want to stereotype out of it, like, show something else than you killing strippers. That was the other thing I was like, for a really long time, I was like, I just don't want to kill strippers. Like, that doesn't seem fun to me.
It's fun, though.
All right, so we're getting into some of the movies we've seen this week. What have you watching, Jordan?
Again, I like to switch up. I like to switch a little bit. You know, I watch scary. I watch some weird stuff. I watch some action stuff. This week, I was like, you know what? Let me watch a documentary. I was on Netflix. I was like, what's in the top 10 right now? And it's this documentary called What Did Jennifer Do? Jennifer Did.
I've been hovering over it for a while. I'm excited to hear about it more.
Okay, don't be that excited. So documentaries are kind of different because you want to tell the truth. You want to, especially if you've already heard of it, how do you make it an engaging for a time?
Yeah.
What's your favorite documentary?
My favorite documentary?
All right, that's a hard question. All right, no.
I'll think about it. God. Right,
I know mine off the top of my head.
What's yours off the top of your head? OJ. Ugh, anyway.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay, so don't at me if you haven't seen it. Watch the documentary. It's on Netflix. It's 5 episodes. Each are an hour and a half.
Gnar.
Watch it.
No.
Okay. Anyway, so this one, it's about Jennifer. All of a sudden, you get ring, 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 ring. The police pick up, and it's just like, oh my God, I hear her pop, pop. My dad's downstairs. I think there's people who are robbing me. My hands are tied right now behind my back. I need you guys to help, help. So the police get there, and mom's dead. Dad's in critical condition. This is in Canada. I think it's a suburb of Toronto. And this is a very quiet place. There's not that much crime or anything. So it's very out of the ordinary that somebody would rob at gunpoint and kill somebody.
It's kind of nice to know. I'm not saying, but, you know, Americans have a reputation. It's nice that this didn't happen in America for once.
Yeah.
Not saying it's nice that it happened. Just that it didn't happen in America for once.
And so Jennifer is an Asian family. I'm not even going to speculate. It's an Asian family. And so dad works very hard, like works at the factory. Mom also has a job. So they're a middle income kind of family. They're not rich or anything like that. They have decent money, but like not outside their means or anything like that. And so the officers are like, hey, Jennifer, like, okay, tell us what happened. And so she's like, yeah, I got handcuffed. They broke, they went into the door, they handcuffed me, and they killed my mom. And then they're like, oh my God, like, we're sorry for all that. Who do you think had done it? More racism happens. She says three Jamaicans. She said three black guys with dreads came in.
Oh, my God.
And, like, at that point, what the second she said that, I was like, this bitch is lying. I was like, this bitch is lying. I'm not believing that three random Jamaicans just come into your house and just rob you, okay? And then kill your mom. They try to kill the dad. Dad's in a coma.
What, did they just, like, recently go on a Jamaican vacation? And she's like, you know what, who would be a great fall guy? The entire country of Jamaica.
And then they just leave her upstairs. Now, my biggest thing, and eventually in the documentary it gets to, like, why would you leave her alive as a witness? Okay? So, so here's, and, like, this is all there, so I'm just going to tell you what happens. Basically, she dates a drug dealer. She's dating this drug dealer.
We've all been there.
And parents don't like him because he's a drug dealer.
Fair.
She graduates. They went to high school together.
What kind of drug dealer? Like,
he says like weed. Like he's not like a top tier. Like he's not cocaine or like anything whatever. Like that. But so selling like he sells drugs. Parents know. She graduates high school. What happens is, her parents are like, okay, like, you know, typical Asian, like, family. Hey, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be this and this and that. And then she goes to a very good school. And one of her friends was like, no, like, everybody got A's, maybe a couple B's. She was not the bright one in the school. And so she couldn't get into med school or anything like that. So what'd she do? For 4 years, she lies to her parents about going to school. They drop her off in Toronto, and she's just like fucks around. And then they pick her back up. And then she even photoshopped a degree.
Where does she live?
Suburb. Somewhere in Canada.
Oh, wait. So she was like commuting to school?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So like she would photoshop like grades with Photoshop, student loans and stuff like financial aids, like Photoshop, all that stuff. And she still wanted to date the guy. So she was trying to date the guy in secret. Eventually, parents found all this stuff out and was like, fuck you. And he's like, you have two choices. You either choose him or choose us. She chose the parents. Until all this shit happened. And so the guy started to date another girl. He was like, hey, we can't be together. So, like, I want to be with this other girl. So then Jennifer's like, I want to commit suicide. And the best way to commit suicide is to have it people break in and kill me. And then she asked the guy, the drug dealer boyfriend, let's die together.
So romantic.
And he's like, I don't like you like that. I want my girlfriend.
He said, babe, when I said I'd die for you, I didn't really mean that. I just need you to know that.
Yes. And so I get like literally what happens is she sets this all up. She goes, she asks like the drug dealer, hey, do you know anybody who could fucking kill somebody or kill me at least? Yeah, I got three dudes that I guess will kill you. For $2,000.
That's cheap.
That's very cheap.
God, in inflation?
Yeah, it's very
God,
this was like 2000. This is like early 2000s.
I guess. I was like, in today's rates? Damn.
Actually, no, not early 2000s. This was like early 2010s.
Okay.
So, and again, like, I'm not going to lie. This documentary gets a 5. it's average. It could definitely just be playing on the background. Like, I'm not really focused, paying attention or anything like that. When I tell you, it's because she's bad. Like, why are you texting on your phone about, hey, I'm going to leave the front door unlocked. They're going to come into your house. And then, oh, you kill my, hey, this is what you can do. You can kill my parents. And then I'll come into money of like their life insurance and a house. I'll sell it. And that's like $500,000. You can take some money. That's what the ex-boyfriend wanted. He wanted some money. And then she said, and then she tries to lie and says, oh, they weren't supposed to kill my mom and kill my dad. Yes, they fucking were. Like, it's, so the whole moral story is she was willing to kill her family to be with this drug dealer that didn't want to be with her and then wanted to kill herself and commit suicide in the process.
I guess I'm just confused because, like, how did the parents die but she didn't? Did she just, like, say, don't kill me?
No. So, like, turns out, like, during when it all happens, they have mom, dad are, like, handcuffed. Daughter walks down the stairs and is just, like, talking to one of the dudes in front of dad. So this is how she gets caught. Dad wakes up from a coma and tells the cops everything that happened. He's like, fuck that bitch. Like, yeah, she tried to kill me. Yeah, so, and that's the whole story. It's just, like, but the thing is, it's like, she's a bad liar. Like, at first she was good, and, you know, she's crying and stuff like that, and you feel bad for her. But then it's just like, bro, your story don't make sense. Why would somebody randomly rob you? A. B. Why would they leave you alive? C. Why is the door not broken in? The front door's not broken in.
Yeah, this is just, like, not tracking for me. Like, have we never seen an episode? I guess maybe this is our American showing.
Yeah, and
it's
I guess.
It's like, I was like, have you never seen Criminal Minds and Escrow? First of all, Miss Taylor's Allison Swift gave you a song called No Body, No Crime.
Why
just like it's
why are we texting? Why are we texting?
No, you should never, everything should be verbal communication only and watch your call logs, get burner phones. Come on. Yeah, like, so no, grow up.
So after they started to suspect that it was her, they were like, all right, search warrant for your phone. All the text messages are there.
Girl, at least you Snapchat Jesus.
So, moral story, it's a fine documentary. It's the only twist was, like, instead of, like, she wanted to kill her parents, she wanted to commit suicide, but at the same time, still kind of wanted to kill her parents.
Yeah, because one of the parents died and the other one almost died, and she seemed fine. So I'm really not buying this whole suicide thing.
Yeah, so, like, it's all right. It's just something to play on in the background. Nothing was like too like, oh my God, like, oh my God, or anything like that. To be honest, it's just kind of a boring story. That didn't need to be a documentary.
So were the three guys who came in, were they Jamaican?
No, they were not Jamaican.
So that was just a unnecessary lie.
No, yeah, she's just racist.
God. I was like, wait, are the three guys that the boyfriend had Jamaican? Like, where did, like,
she just added
that little color to it.
She said they got
choice of words.
Add that color.
Added a little color to it. God.
God. She's like, yeah, they had dreads. I'm just like, bro, you racist. So, yeah, moral story is don't kill your parents or yourself over a man that don't love you.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty, yeah, don't do that.
That's a moral story. So over the weekend, we watched a very super scary movie.
It was the most horrifying thing you've ever seen in your life.
All right, let's not downplay it. It's actually a great movie. I actually loved Abigail.
Abigail was perfection. We actually saw it together on Friday, and this is my movie choice of the week, but obviously we saw it together. So it's what's really interesting about this movie is it really is like the trailer was perfect for it because it's like it's this movie is exactly what you think it is. It's a group of criminals kidnap a little girl. She turns out to be a man-eating vampire.
But like, see, I think like I would push back if I didn't see the trailer and just saw Abigail. I think I would have liked Abigail way more.
I meant storyline wise, not tonally.
Okay, yeah.
Because definitely, it's a lot. See, here's the thing. with the movie Abigail, it is about a little girl vampire who's just like eating these like top rated assassins, tech people, people who are known for committing crimes. Like this is their job.
Or anybody who's just against her father.
Yes. And so with this, what I find really interesting is like it was very self-aware of itself. Like it had a lot of those funny moments and it really played them up to where it worked well, but it also made it funny. Like there are times where she's like going around just slashing people up left and right. And it was so good, but she's like doing like a fucking grand jeté over here because she's really big into ballet. She's really big into, she wants to be a ballerina. And so she's like doing literal jumps and leaps over these dead bodies and like, blood on the walls everywhere. It was just, and there were some scary moments in it.
I think she just played such a great like role. I think she really actually killed the role of playing
crazy.
Abigail.
Imagine going from Matilda to this.
She was in Matilda?
She was the little girl in Matilda, the musical on Netflix.
That's crazy. Where she,
yeah, that was her.
Yeah. I thought Melissa, you know.
Melissa Barrera.
Yeah,
her
and Scream, like.
Paramount, y'all need to.
Hey, RIP.
Y'all need to figure out what. You need to bring Melissa Barrera back somehow. Like, that was so stupid. Like, figure it out.
I'm sad about that.
Also, postmortem, Angus Cloud.
Okay, Angus Cloud in this movie is fucking.
So good.
But, like, so he plays himself in Euphoria.
Yeah.
Like, he plays just who he is. And I think that this time, this is his last role. He really like just dialed it up just one more notch, and it was perfect.
Well, that's the thing is like he was like matching the energy of the room because this is a great cast. Because like Catherine Newton, she's a scream queen at this point.
Yeah,
she was in Leaves of Frankenstein. She was in Freaky with.
No, she did fantastic in this role.
Yeah, and she that's the thing is like she's so good at being a pretty smart and kind of scary girl. Like, she just does that very well, and I think she's really, like, finding her niche and her shtick. I hope she can get out of it a little bit. But, like, Catherine Newton, keep playing these Scream Queen roles until the day you die. I think she's the next Jamie Lee Curtis, to be honest.
I think I still take Melissa over her, though.
Well,
if I had to choose.
I mean, I'm talking about a Scream Queen. I think Melissa Barrera has a little
more range.
Yeah, I think she has a little more range. Because I likened her to Jamie Lee Curtis because Jamie Lee Curtis didn't start popping off as a movie star until later on in like the 90s
Freaky
and that kind
Friday.
Of stuff. Yeah. Well, God, not that. But what,
I think
but,
to be honest, I think that's the first movie I've seen of her. That was the first movie I saw of her.
Maybe my parents just showed me Halloween at a very young age. Like I was very young, which is crazy. We'll talk about that some other time. But like, I wasn't allowed to watch Power Rangers, but I could watch Halloween.
Bro, I don't understand your parents.
There was some mental gymnastics involved.
Yeah, but so this movie again, I would actually give it like a solid 8.
Yeah, I would like, too. I would almost give it an 8.5. It was just.
It's fun.
It was a fun movie. It didn't take itself too seriously. It knew what it was. It had the scares. It had the gross factors. It had,
action.
When I tell you blood was flying, blood was flying.
And at the same time, it's like, yeah, you know that she's a vampire. You knew this coming in because of the trailer spoiled it. But I think the way all the characters kind of like played, you kind of got to understand who everybody was. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a, you know, like a heist movie where where they all come together.
I mean, that's kind of
what it was.
They were kidnapping the kid. It was a heist movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thoroughly enjoyed it. Me and Joe kind of differ on the ending. I kind of didn't care for the ending as much.
I think that's fair. A lot of people weren't as appreciative.
I don't think it ruined the movie though.
Yeah,
it didn't ruin the movie. It didn't like leave a bad taste. I was just like, that's not the direction I thought it was going to go. That's not the direction I wanted to go. But okay.
See, for me, that's 100%. I knew like that's exactly where I thought it was going to go. They're not going to kill the titular character.
Yeah. No. Oh, well, I knew Melissa. Yeah. Anyway, don't want to spoil it for you, but I think it's a fun movie. Great movie. I think, like we were saying, it's the same breath of like Thanksgiving,
yes.
Where again, like you said, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but at the same time, does have it. It's a different concept, different movie, where I didn't feel like I'm watching the same shit regurgitated.
Yes.
It definitely had a new breath to it.
I think that we're really seeing a little horror renaissance right now. I think people are really accustomed to that. Might be due to the horrors of the world. There is actually a sociological increase whenever things are really hard outside. Horror movies tend to increase in sales and all that. But it's just really interesting that we're seeing all of this, but and also Dan Stevens, he was kind of an annoying character, but that was the point.
He was an annoying
character. And so like he was supposed to be a fucking jackass. And so like I think he really ate that role up and
he played it perfectly.
He did a very good job, but like he was just not a likable character in any sense of the word. But no, I'd say an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, no, highly recommend to go see it. Joe, I just wanted to kind of start this off by just saying you and me during this time, this is our 13th episode.
Jesus, really?
I know. It's kind of crazy. We've talked about shows that we haven't finished. We watch, you know, maybe one or two episodes, sometimes three. Sometimes we watch all like a full season. And I just kind of wanted to go back to one show that I didn't watch all of it. And that's Shogun. And I kind of talked about it a little bit last time, but the season finale just hit. It's perfect.
It's a perfect show.
It's a 10 out of 10.
Oh.
And like, and again, like I've said this multiple times, I don't give out 10s.
No.
Like that.
I don't either.
Nothing really, like, unless you are amazing, beautiful, like, it's not usually a 10. This show's a 10.
Interesting. What makes it a 10? This finale makes it a 10? Or just the whole story makes it a 10?
Well, the whole story, of course, makes it a 10. But this finale is the perfect summarization of the show.
Okay.
Guys, unfortunately, I'm not going to spoil anything because somebody hasn't watched it.
Me, I'm working on it, okay? I've been watching a lot of other shit.
Okay. Well, Shogun needs to take priority. But this just is, it's a love story. It's also basically a Game of Thrones-esque in feudal Japan about who is going to take over at the end of the day, who's trying to be in charge, who is the person that is going to become the shogun. And this is actually takes place over like a real, like this actually really happened in Japan. And so this is not really a spoiler, but what happens in actual history is there's supposed to be a big giant battle at the end. And
the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah. And at the end, after that battle, somebody takes over. Okay. When I tell you, like, and you know, I love my action. I love that stuff. I love it. There's not even a battle at the end.
And it's great.
And it's a perfect ending.
Ooh.
And like that, like that's
imagine how, there not being a Battle of the Bastards. No, it wouldn't work.
And that's the thing about like Game of Thrones. That's kind of like different. I think in Game of Thrones you need that. You need all those kind of parts. This one is just such a like psychological like warfare kind of way of like, no, this is what real Game of Thrones would be like in real life. If people are trying to take over take over the throne, how would people really do that in real life, not a fantasy world?
Yeah.
And this is so much better. I'm not saying this is better than Game of Thrones. Much better ending than Game of Thrones. But I would say that you have this white man from England coming over to Japan, and by the end of it, you thought that, and like most shows, he's the main character. He's not.
Good.
He's not the main character. He's not the white savior. He's not any of this stuff. But you can just tell that he is in a location that he's not comfortable with, that this is weird. He thinks these the Japans, as he calls it, And these people are savages to him. And then by the end, he understands that, no, I respect all of you. You guys are not savages. You guys are real people. And I don't fit in back in my hometown anymore because it's been years. I don't fit in this place, but I feel respected and that I can be a part of this, and I'm okay with that.
Every weeb's dream.
And the facts. but I just wanted to give Shogun his flowers. It's a perfect ending, and like I want you to watch it so we can really talk about it.
It's interesting. It's interesting that what you brought it up, because it's what, and I see why people are like, just from what you're, how you're talking about it, how, why people are likening it to Game of Thrones. And it sounds like because of this really truly power struggle. And it's like the whole point of Game of Thrones is like, when you play the Game of Thrones, you either win or you die. And it sounds like this is like the basis, but like real life. Because I mean, let's be honest, Game of Thrones is primarily based off of historical things that have happened in our world, and how things have happened in that. So it's interesting to see it from like an actual realistic perspective.
And by the way, Anna, I don't know how to say her last name. Guys, if you haven't realized, I can't speak.
He's really bad.
I'm really bad. But Anna
Sawai.
Yeah, Anna Sawai deserves every single award next year. Every single Emmy, every single Golden Globe, she deserves it for this limited series. She is the best character, the most, just so much depth to her. And that's also the thing that I would say Shogun's better than Game of Thrones is. Every character has its own thoughts, process, its own feelings. Every character feels fully fleshed out, and then at the end every character has their own
like resolution
that fits that character well, that doesn't seem forced, that is just a perfect ending to everybody. And she is the most dynamic character in this. There's that the second to last episode, she basically flips her character. The entire time, she's a character that's been down, and she tries to act poised and everything like that, but she's sad inside. Mm-hmm. And then the second to last episode, she switches. There's a flip where she's kind of a little cocky. And when I tell you that Anna plays this role so well, she's going to win every award. And if she doesn't, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed because she went on Jimmy Kimmel and said that she had to translate, because I guess most actors either got like a Japanese script or got an English script, and she had to translate every single thing for every line that she did, for English or Japanese. And like, she's talented, and I just want to give Shogun his flowers. We do watch these shows, and we don't just stop at those two episodes. We actually do fully watch these shows. And I just want to say, I only can see a couple shows topping Shogun this year, but this is probably going to be best limited series. And it's up there on like in the Mount Rushmore, I would say, of limited series.
All right, fine. I'll watch it. Alrighty, so up next we have my show that I watched this weekend. And when I tell you, I watched this entire show in one day. It's only 8 episodes.
Jesus.
It's only 8 episodes and they're like half an hour. So it's like, it's like not crazy, but good God, this show is insane. So what it is, it's about this guy.
What's it called?
Baby Reindeer.
Okay.
This show is called Baby Reindeer. It's on Netflix. It is a masterpiece. So what it's about is this guy is a bartender/comedian. He moved to London because he wants to be a famous comedian. Like, that's his thing. But he's like not a really good comedian. It's like jokes and props and like that kind of thing. He's like, oh, let me, and he'll like throw something out into the crowd.
Being
like,
honest, I think British humor is so different from our humor.
Yeah.
It's just not as funny.
But like
way more dry.
But I mean, it was like a a point in the show that he was like not a great comedian. So he was like working at this bar, just kind of living his life, whatever. And then this woman just comes in the bar and she's like very disheveled and she's a larger woman. And he's just like, he sees her, she comes up to him and she looks at him and he's like, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. They're talking and he's like, do you want anything? And she's like, well, I can't really afford anything right now. He's like, well, I could just get you a cup of tea, just because he wanted to be nice. He wanted to be nice to this woman who was obviously lying to him, because she comes in and she goes, I'm a lawyer. This woman is not a lawyer. She doesn't look like a lawyer. And like, that's like the whole thing.
Are you fat shaming?
No, it's more her tone and the way she spoke and also her spelling. So he does that. They ended up like talking. And so then she just starts showing up every fucking day. Every day she just starts popping up every day. And then she starts, somehow she finds his comedian website and gets his email and just starts sending in emails, love, emails at all time of the day, nonstop. And a couple points she's like, can I get your number? And he was like, absolutely. Well, he didn't say absolutely not. He was like, he like beat around the bush. Cause at the end of the day, like, this is just some regular at the bar that he works at. Like, he doesn't know her like that. She's sending him all these emails. And so finally it gets to the point where things start to escalate. And she just completely envelops herself in like the idea that they are together. And so
bro, people crazy. I swear to God.
And so then she starts, and he's like trying to be nice about it. He's like, but then everyone at the bar is also like kind of making fun of him. Like, when are you going to ask her out? When are you going to ask her out? You hang around her all the time. When are you going to ask her out? And he's just like, no, thank you. Like, we're just friends. Like, he tries to be nice about it.
Yeah.
But then she just keeps sending him all these emails, and it starts to up the ante. It's nonstop, just stream of consciousness, random emails in the middle of the day, like all throughout the night. And he's just getting up, ding, 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 all this stuff. Eventually it gets to the point where he's like, okay, I think I need to go to the cops about this. He goes to the cops. He's like, this woman keeps doing all this stuff. And they're like, what do you want us to do about it? Like, it's just this some sad woman sending you emails. What can we do? And so then things get even worse. He ends up actually dating someone who is a trans woman. And so that adds a whole other layer into it. And crazy bitch finds out that he's dating other women. So she actually goes insane and just constant nonstop emails. Over the course of this, 450,000 emails and like 350 hours of voice recordings.
I'm not gonna lie though, I kind of don't feel bad for him, because why don't you just block her?
So it gets into that of why. So one, she knows where he works. And she does all, so she knows where he works. She's seen him. Oh, there is one very important part. This is not like a spoiler per se, but whenever they like, she's like basically tries to like hang out with him outside of work. And he's like, no, thank you. And she's like, okay. And goes her own way. He follows her to just like see what this person is like outside of, like, to see where she lives, to see if she's really a lawyer. So he goes and he like looks in her window, and that's kind of what actually starts all of this. I forgot about this part. That's what actually starts all of this, is he goes and looks in her window and she thinks he's interested. And so she just starts throwing it at him like crazy. And he was like, no, all this stuff, like, it wasn't me. And she's like, but then she kept throwing it back in his face. He's like, if you don't care about me, why did you follow me home? Why were you looking?
Because I'm nosy.
So then what really sent everything over the edge is he's showing his boss. He's like, we got to ban her from the bar. We can't do this anymore. Like, do you see all this crazy shit she's sending me all day, every day? And he goes, well, what about this email where you asked her for anal sex? He goes, I didn't do that. He goes, well, now you did. And actually like sent an email to her asking for butt stuff.
I'm not going to lie. Would instantly fight my boss.
I would have
easily rocked the shit out of my boss.
Because he's obviously, but nobody takes him seriously. That's the thing. Nobody is taking this man seriously, that he's in danger. Even though he finally decides to look this bitch up. It turns out she is a serial stalker and she has been to prison before for stalking people. Oh, man. And
did you just spoil it?
No, that's not the spoiler at all. So it just kind of goes on this crazy ride of like how he handles this, how he handles this with his new girlfriend who's trans, how he handled, like, why he's even doing this in the first place. Because a lot of people ask, well, like, why did you let it go on so long before saying anything? Like, that's the premise of the show. And the thing is, like, he's like, I'm a man and she's a woman. There's one point in the show where the cop is like, there's literally nothing we can do because she's not threatening you. She's just kind of harassing you. But it's email. So, like, what constitutes harassment in an email? Threatening. And he's like, but she's talking about masturbating in them. And if a 40-year-old man was sending a 20-something-year-old woman emails about masturbation, it would be a little, it would be a lot different. And the cop goes, but that's threatening.
Oh, okay.
And so, and it show, it just so, shows a complete
light bulb.
Yeah. It's it, and it shows just a complete lack of, like, understanding about men in these situations being stalked and how these are affected. I'm not gonna lie, it's my biggest fucking fear, because I have had creeps on the internet, like, fully just like, I mean, I have, I've seen, I've shown you some where it's just like, hey, hi, yeah, hey, hey, hi, hey, what's up, how are you doing, how's your day? And it is scary. But, like, either I block them and they go crazier, or I just leave them on red, let them keep doing what they're doing. I just never answer. Like, what's a good answer for this? Because in the online digital age, you can stalk anyone. So what's really fucked up about this show, it goes into everything. There's a lot more that happens. I just gave you, like, the tidbits, little pieces of it. This is a true story.
Oh,
this is a 100% true story. Oh. And not only is it a true story, the guy who it happened to is the main character in it.
Oh.
Yes. So he is going through all this thing. So there's a lot of other stuff that happens in this that's very deeply.
Hold on. Low-key, good for him.
Yeah.
Like he was like, yeah, I want to be a comedian. So, like, blah, blah, blah. Got a show.
Yeah. No. He got all of it. I mean, so it first started off as, like, a one-act play that he did himself, or, like, a one-man play that he did himself. So, like, he sold this story all the way up to Netflix. So it's really good for him. made the best out of what the situation was.
You know what? Some things are blessings.
He did, and I did look this up. He did say that the stalker, he's like, she didn't look like this person. She didn't act like this person. We went very far out of the way to make her not physically represent in any way the person that actually did this, so no one would really know who it was.
Why?
Because, I mean, well, that kind of gets into the spoilers.
Okay. No, actually, I saw the trailer for it, and the woman was talking, and that's when I scrolled to what Jennifer did.
Yeah.
And so now I'm kind of pissed. I wish you would
have been much better to say it. Cause I mean, I scrolled past it a few times, and I even had a friend text me and be like, hey, have you seen this show? And I was like, no, I don't really want to. When I tell you it's a good, like, 8 out of 10. And good. The reason it's an 8 out of 10 for me is because I was so uncomfortable the whole time. The actors did a very good job of portraying, like, what was happening and making you feel almost, I was sick to my stomach. Like, I didn't understand. Like, when people say cringe or secondhand embarrassment, I don't really know what that is. Like, I don't get that. Like, for me, like, secondhand embarrassment, like, I can watch somebody fall and it be funny to me. I'm not gonna, like, be embarrassed for you.
Falling's not really embarrassing. I think, like, there are some moments where you're just like, you've been in a situation where you're just like, oh, I should go. Or like, oh, shit, I don't know what to say or do. Or
that's not secondhand embarrassment for me. For me, secondhand embarrassment is when, like, you see somebody do something that would be embarrassing and you get embarrassed on their behalf. Like, they feel that embarrassment in their chest. All I know is I've heard so many people, I'd be like, I really like this show. And they're like, I just can't because I get such bad secondhand embarrassment. And so I can't, can't watch that. And, like, to me, I don't ever feel that with TV. I felt that with this because it snowballs into this crazy fucking story, but, like, it makes sense how it happened. And it, like, it, the people, people make decisions in this show that either I have made or I've watched other people make, and it made sense in the moment, but hindsight's always 20/20. And you don't know how that person's going to react to something. And so, like, when you're dealing with people, like, you don't really know who they are and that kind of thing. Like, that's when I feel like it gave me such secondhand embarrassment and cringe and, like, that sick to my stomach feeling. Because, like, I talk to people all day and I don't know who they really are.
No.
I don't know if you're a creep. I don't know if you're a weirdo. You might be, or you might be, like, and
stop being creeps.
Stop being creeps. And that goes for men and women. Don't stalk people online. Don't
stop.
Well, and if you do, don't message them. Like, you can look at their profile. The profile's fine. Stalk away on that portion. But don't be
creepy.
Don't be sending 300 hours of voicemails and 400,000 emails. That's
what if I love you?
Don't do it unless they say I love you too.
And last but not least, this is the end of April, and so he just kind of wanted to give kind of a recap of the past 4 months, which is, first of all, 4 months, it's been quick.
How is it May next week? It's May next week.
I know.
That's fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
By the time you hear this, it will probably be May.
No, it won't.
It'll almost be May.
It'll almost be May. But so we just kind of want to recap of this first trimester of some of our favorite movies and favorite TV shows. I just want to go first.
Yeah.
Favorite movies. Number one's Dune. Dune 2.
Oh, did you put these in like actual order?
I actually put them in order.
Oh,
you just listed some shit.
I just listed them. Yeah. I did a little bit of an order. The top ones are at the top.
But Dune 2 is definitely my favorite movie. It's not even close. Civil War. It's also a great movie.
Civil War is also on my list. And Dune 2 is as well. Though both movies are just... they're just good movies.
Good fucking movies. But Godzilla, again, like, some people are going to hate it. Some people are going to like it.
It's just fun.
It's a fun fucking movie, I enjoy it.
I still really need to go see that.
Yeah, we'll definitely go see it. Monkey Man, I'm going to talk about it in a future episode.
I've heard it's really good.
Oh, it's...
And I've heard he's so hot in it.
Sure.
I'm just saying, like, my side of the internet is nonstop talking about how hot he is in it. So they just really did something for everyone in this movie.
No,
it sounds
it's
like
it's a fun movie, very, very John Wick-esque.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of killing, a lot of fun action. It's, again, sometimes you just need it. And I'm not gonna lie, Abigail's
on my list.
Abigail would be my top five.
It's up there.
It's a good movie. It's a really good movie. My honorable mention, though, for movies, Madam Web.
Hi, Penny.
Because it's the funniest movie I've ever seen.
Madam Web was also on my list because it is such a... It was a moment in culture. We needed it. It was perfect. It was great. It was like... It was a good, bad movie.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your favorite movies this year?
I mean, a lot of the ones that you listed, I didn't realize this was a top five situation. I just started listing movies.
Yeah,
if you want, you need to start just writing top five. If you want me to do five, because I will just keep going. So for me, I think Mean Girls is up there on the list. I think it was a great movie. It was a great iteration. It was really fun. I'm just a slut.
I think great's pushing it.
I'm just a slut for Renee Rapp. It's great because of Renee Rapp. She was great in it. Therefore, the movie was great. Anyway.
Sure.
You can just say it's not great. Whatever. Going down at Dune 2, Civil War. I put Late Night with the Devil, Abigail, and Lisa Frankenstein.
Yeah. You're in your scary era.
Like I said, you know that I have like a Shudder account, right? Like,
yeah.
I love horror movies.
Because you're depressed.
And, yep.
Demons that you need to...
I mean, when I was growing up, like, we would turn off cartoons and switch it over to Sci-Fi Channel and watch horror movies.
You need...
But, like I said, it's just... earlier in the episode, I said it's a really great time for horror.
It is.
If you're a horror fan and you haven't seen Late Night with the Devil, Abigail, and Lisa Frankenstein, go do it. Super fun. Super... Just kind of kitschy movies that, like, bring back the idea of horror, but, like, add a little fun to it. And then last but not least was Madam Web, because it was just...
It's so bad. It's hilarious.
It's just, like, a good, bad movie. I wish it was almost like Napoleon, because Napoleon Dynamite knew what it was doing in the fact that, like, is a good bad movie. Like,
but that meant to be a comedy.
It was supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Madam Web is not supposed to be a comedy, sure fucking was, because I laughed my ass off.
Favorite TV shows of this year? I just talked about it, but Shogun. It's easily number one. It's not even close. Not even close. But Fallout is really good. Fallout is really good.
Are you caught up?
I am not. I'm almost done. I only got two episodes left.
God, and it's just. I don't know how to explain it. They just did it very well.
Yes.
Because there's like practical effects and there's
It's a great TV show.
You are needy.
X-Men 97. Fantastic.
I think X-Men 97 is going to reinvigorate animated superhero shows. I think that this is what is going to be like. I think this is an example of what animated superhero shows could be.
Yes.
And should be. Because what I really like about it is they don't handhold you. If you don't know what's going on, go look it up yourself. You should have already known, nerd. Go watch it again. Do whatever. But like, they are not holding your hand. Like, they just pop over to the Shi'ar Empire. And if you don't know what the Shi'ar Empire is, go Google it.
And so that's my favorite, I would say, animated show. My favorite anime. Different. It's Japanese. Solo Leveling, again, that is top tier, and it's going to be, once it's done, it's going to be one of the best anime of all time. I'm just telling you guys.
I agree, because I watch it. You got me onto it. I'm hooked.
And biggest, like, toughest time I had deciding what was my favorite competition reality show. I had The Trust. I had Deal or No Deal, Island. I had Tournament of Champions, all fantastic. I'm watching Top Chef right now. Love is Blind is mine, I would say. It's not because it's great, it's good. It was a moment and entertaining. It was very entertaining, and that's why I would put it in number five.
I think Love is Blind holds a very specific place in the social lexicon of like how we deal with each other in dating.
Yeah. What were your favorite shit? Jesus.
I kind of went crazy. I didn't realize this is a top five situation. Five. We're just going to go through this quickly. On Amazon, Has Been a Hotel. If you haven't seen it and you have religious trauma, go watch it now. Fallout is one of mine. Invincible is also one of mine. I love Fallout. I think it's great. Sci-fi. If you like superheroes, Invincible is a great take on superheroes. For Netflix, Three Body Problem. Fantastic sci-fi show. It gets a little cerebral, but if you can just like power through a couple really tech heavy scenes and like that like lingo heavy scenes, great fucking show. Baby Reindeer, I just talked about. It was great. One Day, I've talked about earlier. Also fantastic love story. Heartbreak High. If you ever watch Skins UK, not the US version, fuck that version, watch Heartbreak High. It is similar, not as dark, but it does go into very dark places. I bust my gut laughing at this show. I think it's so funny. It's so good. It's so witty. It's so just sarcastic and super queer, super fun, but also dealing with like all the different things. It's just like really fun. Disney Plus, X-Men 97. We talked about Stars, Mary and George. I'm probably going to talk about next week. Great fucking show. If you like gay historical bullshit, this is the show for you on Stars. Apple TV Plus, Palm Royale, Beautiful, Crunchyroll, Solely Level. We talk about, can you scroll down a little? Just a little. Okay, there we go. And then last but not least, Peacock. Traitor Season 2 is perfect reality television in the idea of produced reality television shows in competitions. It is forced drama for the sake of forced drama. And that's all I'm going to say about that. House of Villains Season 1 technically came out in 2023 on E, but nobody watched it. And now it's on Peacock in 2024. If you want another good reality show competition, but like from everyone from the past, Omarosa is on this show. Tiffany, HBIC, New York, Pollard is on this show. Everyone is on this show. It's beautiful and they hate each other. Bobby Lights. You have Corinne from The Bachelor. People from Love is Blind is on this show. It is the multiverse of madness of reality show competitions, and everyone should watch it if you haven't. And last but not least, I'm just going to say this. Chucky Season 3 if you like horror or you're into Chucky, watch this show. Watch it tonight. It is wrapping up all of the storylines that were left loose ends from all the horror show movies. And because the Chucky series got a little crazy there for a second. Like once it got to like Cult of Chucky, we went a little off the deep end. So this show is really like wrapping that up and tying loose ends, but also really upping the ante because season 3, Chucky has infiltrated the White House and he is after those nuclear codes. And that's all I'm going to say. See, that was quick.
All right, guys. Again, we're double trouble features. We got all the movies, all the TV shows, and Joe can keep going if he really wanted to.
Yeah, I could.
But I'm Jordan.
And I'm Joe.
And this is Double Trouble Features.